My name's Peggy Frew, and I'm a writer based in Melbourne. In this issue of NGV magazine, I reflect on the artwork in the NGV collection that has changed me, Giambattista Tiepolo's The Banquet of Cleopatra. In writing this piece, I was led to consider the role of viewing and interpreting art in my life, and especially in my writing life, in which I am, I hope, always learning and always changing. I've been a regular visitor to the NGV since childhood, and the art that I've seen and experienced at the gallery is well and truly integrated into the jumble of imagery and recalled sensations that is my memory, and that I regularly draw upon in my own work. It was my mother and my grandmother who would take me to the gallery, and it's interesting to me now to note that the artworks I find in that complicated, gluey mass of memory are often depictions of women and girls. I can remember being fascinated and frightened, for instance, by Arthur Boyd's painting Shearers Playing for a Bride. What is going on inside the mind of that woman as she stands with her bunch of flowers, held captive by the train of her bridal dress, which is being sat upon by one of the men? Grace Cossington Smith's The Quaker Girl is another example of the kind of work I was drawn to and still am. I'm a sucker for a subject with an averted gaze, a closed, inward expression. The pilot light of my imagination leaps up in response. What is she thinking behind those lowered eyes? Since the interconnected lives of women and girls has emerged as a theme in my work as a writer, these preoccupations really come as no surprise. I'm particularly interested in subjectivity and the evolution of perspective over time. In much of my fiction, a character revisits the same memory again and again, her interpretation shifting, resulting in an accumulated layering of interconnected meanings. We can never truly understand the inner life of another person, yet still we strive to, and I think that viewing art, as well as making it, is one way in which we do this striving, this incomplete and helplessly subjective act that nonetheless is so rich in meaning. And now, here is my reflection on Giambattista Tiepolo's The Banquet of Cleopatra. How strange that when I was asked to name a life-changing work, this one sprang to mind. I know very little about art, certainly not enough to appreciate the historical context of this painting or the skill or technique it demonstrates, but I did think that I knew my own taste. I like lively paintings, paintings with a sense of movement, with texture, dapples, depth, luminosity. Giambattista Tiepolo's The Banquet of Cleopatra, 1743-44, is not one of those paintings. To me, it's a big, pompous, flat and stagey work. Everything in it is arranged. Its black servants and capering dwarf give me the heebie-jeebies, as do its cringing dogs. And what about Cleopatra herself, who has a decidedly Venice 1740s vibe, pink and white and very frilly? Wasn't she supposed to be from Egypt and like 50 BC? This painting, though, laden with wrongness, shameless in its reinventions and entitlements, has popped up in the novel I'm working on. A character, a young woman making a mess of her transition to adult life, recalls it from childhood visits to the NGV. It's Cleopatra's boldness that my character, who suffers from a chronic lack of courage, remembers her for. Tiepolo's Cleopatra, when I put my politics and the weird flat background and floating heads aside and look at her, is captivating. Under that enormous skirt, her legs might fall comfortably any way they like, even wide, like a man's. The angle of her head, the hand on her hip, the whole swaggerish lean of her, how assured she is in that circle of men. And yet she is so young and so soft. She reminds me of the singer-songwriter Angel Olsen, contemporary queen of controlled, potently sulky drama. "I dare you to understand," sings Olsen, "what makes me a woman." But a funny thing happens when I keep looking. I begin to see Cleopatra, more than anything else, as lonely. I see the weariness of the constant performer. I see the tremendous weight of the imperative of beauty. But then I think, these don't belong to the original Cleopatra, the politician, the strategist, who might have been beautiful but is surely remembered for more than that. These lonely burdens are those of Tiepolo's woman, who is not really Cleopatra, and who, no matter her actions, is above all else young and pretty. Then again, they're not even hers. Really, they're mine. They've been put on her by me. In trying to understand her, I end up back inside myself. The character in my novel looks at Tiepolo's Cleopatra and sees unattainable poise. I look and see a lonely and burdened young woman. Our views are nested, the characters inside mine, but they're not the same view. Here is Tiepolo's unintended gift, this wormhole, this specific and deep tunnel which I enter through the portal of fiction and which is fabricated from layers of representation, misrepresentation and interpretation. Tiepolo's, mine and those of my protagonist. Art is as complex as people are, I suppose, and I'm so grateful for what lives in the mysterious and surprising places that exist between the two.